I'm Hannah Fitman.
I'm Catherine Orchard.
And I'm Hannah van der Vestazen.
And we are
the Fat Boy
Podcast.
Horrible. Why are we back on Zoom again?
Because Hannah has the plague.
Yeah, that's why.
Still has the plague.
In fact, the plague has worsened.
Okay, you actually do have the plague.
Oh no, has it worsened?
I do feel like I have the black lung. I will say that. Can we just tell the story about Hanako's big night out?
Can we?
On the podcast? Because it's honestly given me so much joy.
Are we allowed?
Yes. So, guys, last Friday, I went to the cinema to see Spencer, which my other half is in, and we enjoyed it very much. Go see it.
Go
check it out. It's a wickety whack.
Going to see it next week with my mum. Very excited.
Are you? Yes.
Going on Tuesday.
Yes, bruv. So then we went to my favourite Japanese restaurant afterwards, and we'd only ever been once. And when we were there, everyone around us was ordering the omikase, which is basically like the chef's... whatever, the chef just makes you a ton of food and you just keep eating it until you say enough. It's incredible.
What do they say in where is it where they say eat till you die? What's the phrase?
Is that an Okinawan phrase? I don't know it.
Oh, is it where did I go when it was so long ago now?
Oh, is it Osaka? It's
yeah,
Osaka.
Yeah,
isn't
yeah,
it?
That's it.
Yeah.
And the phrase is like you eat till you eat die. Till you basically. Die.
Yeah. Well, guys, I got pretty close to that.
Yep, went to the brink.
So he just kept on handing us food over the bar. Got to the 11th course, and I was like, okay.
Oh my god.
He was like, "How are you doing?" And I was like, "Onaka ibai," which means my stomach is fit to bursting in Japanese.
Oh my gosh.
So we stopped.
By that point, were you on sweet food?
No. But I then was like, can we see the dessert menu?
Which is where everything went wrong.
It all went wrong. I mean, the last takoyaki ball really sent me over the edge. And I was like, do you know what? I don't think I can eat a mochi ball. I don't think I can do it. So we left and we decided to walk all the way from Soho back to East London. This is a 4-mile walk, guys.
Yeah, that's impressive.
That is a long walk on a full stomach.
I was digesting a lot, okay? And on the way, I was like, oh my God, I really want some pineapple juice. And to my surprise, Jack was like, well, let's go get some then. And I was like, oh, okay. So we went into Tesco's. And we were at the drinks aisle, right? And I was umming and ahhing over a pineapple juice or an innocent smoothie.
That was it.
Oh, no. That's a meal in itself, mate.
I know, right? A guy comes along.
Rookie.
He instantly grabs the innocent smoothie. And I was like, are they good?
Sign.
And he was like, they're amazing. And I was like, do you know what? I'm fit to bursting. But this innocent smoothie's got fucking guava in it, right? I've got to buy it.
On what God's good earth would you say no to fucking guava in a smoothie?
This is precisely it. So, obviously, I get the guava innocent smoothie.
Obviously.
And do you know what, guys? It was disappointing. It just tasted like those innocent smoothies that you'd get from Starbucks in year 8.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a little straw.
You don't have to be a bloody psychic to be able to tell a fortune teller to know that.
I thought they would have changed up the recipes by now.
Tried a bit harder.
We weren't having guava when we were in year 8, I'll tell you that for free.
No, that's true.
So anyway, I get home and there's like about this much left, 4 inches left.
Okay, I need to ask, big bottle, small bottle?
Big bottle, like the big bottle.
Oh, like a litre bottle?
Yes, guys, a litre bottle. I've had 11 courses of Japanese food. I've had one beer and a shochu, which is like a Japanese wine with soda drink. And now I'm guzzling down an instant smoothie, which is
Oh, dear God.
Oh, my God.
It's brave. That's brave.
There's maybe like a third left in the bottle. And I'm like, Jack, do you want any? He's like, absolutely not. I feel sick. And I was like, right, I'm going to end this right here, right now. And I guzzle it all the way down.
No.
Obviously, I was just thirsty because of all the soy sauce that I'd been consuming. But I didn't. I wasn't thinking properly. Anyway, sit down to watch Friends. I'm like, oh God, I don't feel good. I don't feel good at all. And then I go upstairs to my bedroom and I'm just sitting on the edge of the bed, clutching my stomach going, oh, this isn't good. Oh dear. Jack's fucking brushing his teeth. I'm like, you need to get out of there right now, mate. He gets out. I start peeing and then I'm like, oh no, it's going to come out the other end. It's going to come out the other end. I finish my wee. Quickly make a little switch around. Head first in the toilet. Projectile vomit. Three times, my ladies. Three times.
Three times a charm, famously.
Three times a charm.
The magic
once,
number.
Not twice. Thrice.
Once, twice, three times
oh,
a projectile vomit.
Oh my God. Unbelievable. And then you felt fine. Felt great.
And then I felt absolutely fine. But you know what? I was gutted because I was like, all that delicious food, all of those good nutrients that all of that fish and all of that stuff was giving me, it's bloody gone to waste.
Gone.
Honestly.
But the weirdest thing was that when I told Jack that I'd booked this restaurant, he sent me a row of emojis. Sushi, prawn, sushi, prawn, sushi, prawn, vomit face. And I was like, why did you send the vomit face?
He's a fortune teller.
And he was like, because we're going to eat so much. And I was like, that's disgusting, Jack. Send me a vomit face. Cut to 2 days later.
He was right.
I was a fortune teller.
Obsessed with the level of like extravagance.
Yeah.
In you eating so much that you literally created your own personal vomitorium. Yeah. Very Grecian of you.
Yeah, it's serving me Romans. It's serving me Tudors.
It's serving me Queen Energy. Yeah.
Medieval Queen.
Medieval Queen.
And this is why we should all be Tauruses.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And honestly, speaking of extravagance, thank God it's been such a running theme over our current weeks.
Yes.
Because even though you seem extravagant and bougie, you are about to be put to shame and seem you know, woman of the people compared to
to what we're about to witness.
We are. And we're about to witness some serious outrage. So are you ready?
Oh my God. I'm so ready.
I don't know if I'll ever be ready.
Guys, today I'm serving you power, politics, money. It's Succession, baby.
Hell yeah.
Dun, dun. So, it's all in the family in this provocative, funny series about a highly dysfunctional dynasty. Succession is the series taking the world by storm, created by Jesse Armstrong and his tippity-tip-top writing team. It combines all the Shakespearean drama that a family of powerful billionaires is wont to do, yet doesn't forget to remind us that, conglomerate or no, everyone loves that first glass of very cold white wine before dinner.
Don't we?
Yes.
Don't we just?
So the series follows Logan Roy, whose favourite child and media empire, Waystar Royco, hangs delicately in the balance of shareholders, public opinion, and four utterly deplorable potential successors.
Yes.
So we have Connor from Logan's first marriage, who's the forgotten son.
Who's a bit like Prudence, right?
Yeah, who's like Murdoch. Prudence. So this is the series that's kind of based on the Murdoch episode that we did last week. We have Kendall, Roman and Schiff from Logan's second marriage, and they're beasts in their own right. Kendall, Logan's number one boy. Roman, self-professed dumb but smart. And Schiff, the token woman, or nicely put, Logan's only girl. And they fight tooth and nail for the top spot in daddy's company.
Kendall is, because obviously I'm just at the beginning, which is abominable, but can completely fall blame to my housemate who was meant to watch it with me and then betrayed me and watched it with her boyfriend.
Betrayal!
Honestly.
The amount of times you've told this story on the podcast now.
Look.
She's going to be like, stop! I'm sorry!
Bitter. I am bitter. So is the one that you were saying was his favourite son?
Kendall Roy.
Played by?
Okay. So we have Kendall Roy, played by Jeremy Strong. Logan Roy, daddy, played by Brian Cox. Shiv is played by Sarah Snook. Roman is Kieran Culkin.
Right.
Who's yeah. like more interesting than the cat. If I explain, that's like my number one thing to you. I remember at drama school, a teacher being like, if there's ever like an animal or a kid on stage, the only thing you have to be do is have to do is be more interesting
be
than
more
them.
More interesting than the cat.
And yeah. Kieran is yeah. like a million times more interesting than the fucking cat. He's just
so
incredible.
True. Yeah.
Nicholas Braun plays cousin Greg.
Brilliant.
Yes, so Matthew good. McFadden.
Oh, oh so good.
Plays Tom, Shiv's husband.
What is in? Oh my gosh, he's so good.
Yeah, he's incredible.
Brilliant.
He is so good. But temporarily, you both sort of swooned, and I was like, "That's Rogue."
Yeah, no.
Well, oh no, just because he's so fucking good.
Yeah, he's so good.
Like every single line, you're like,
"Damn,
what a take!"
Yeah, I knew someone that worked with him on something. I know that's completely nondescript, but bear with me. She or he, I can't even remember who told me, was watching him do a scene with someone, take after take. And they said that every single take was completely different.
Wow.
It was just a masterclass in acting.
Wow.
Oh, he's mind-blowing in it. We also have J. Smith Cameron, who plays Jerry.
Yes.
Alan Ruck, who plays Connor Roy. And that's sort of the kind of top build cast. And they're all such fuck boys and fuck girls.
Yeah.
Like, it's wild. And it's not even just like the way that they're treating their romantic partners. It's just the way they treat everyone. It is like completely captivating and awful in kind of equal measure. You just cannot kind of tear your eyes away. It's so thrilling. It's such an exciting watch. We're going to start with Logan Roy because, I mean, this is where it all started, right? So he is on his third wife by the time that we meet him. And he seems like initially a kind of frail, grumpy old man. And
yeah, how old is he? When do we actually know? Because it's his birthday, isn't it? At the beginning of...
Yeah, I think it's his 80-something in the show.
He's an old man.
He's on the third wife and it seems like she... You know, she really looks after him. She kind of adores him. She's very gentle with him because he gets really ill. The series starts with Logan having a stroke. And then he's kind of fierce, wild, give me more meds, road to recovery. It swiftly becomes clear, however, that this is not a sweet old man that we're working with. He's all old school power moves, silver service, and what he wants when he wants it. His most classic fuckboy move is when he cheats on his wife, Marsha, with the new CEO of his company, Waystar Royco. Marsha obviously leaves him, refusing to be embarrassed, as she says. And when she eventually comes back, due to kind of like a media, let's look like we have this shit together, it's a kind of expensive affair.
Oh, Can I just question?
Yeah?
Is this an episode full of spoilers?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, this is so spoilerful.
Oh, I wish I wasn't on this episode.
This is
fuck.
This is a struggle for you.
This is why you should have watched all the series.
Sorry, I should have watched just like 24 hours worth of content.
I mean, there is fuckboyery in episode one.
This is true.
However,
there's plenty.
I can't just keep it to episode one, I don't think.
No, this is true.
Too
there
good.
Might be some big twist that you'll have to tell me to cover my ears for because...
I'm going to tell you to cover your ears for the ones.
Okay, great.
But there is a line with Marsha where he says something like, I can hear the millions draining.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
And it's that good. Oh, it's
what, because he's worried that she's going to sue him?
It's like her renegotiating the,
the
let's get back
marriage.
Together deal. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I live I for it.
She's an icon. She's kind of, I think, the Wendy figure. Mm-hmm. Of just like, right. She plays hardball. So Logan's top fuckboy moves include getting stuck on the phone and being unable to come to a business meeting. A classic power play. Asking his son for a chat and leaving him in a waiting room. And just leaving. Not talking to his son at all. Getting the second private jet so he doesn't have to wait on the runway. And yes, guys, I know these are such relatable moments.
They truly are.
Some slightly more relatable ones include playing his kids off of each other, slapping his kids and his grandkids. Quite literally fucking democracy. Making up rumours about every single person who was against him, including his own son. And then quite possibly his biggest fuckboy move of all. And this is a spoiler, so you may want to cover your ears, Hannah.
Right, I'm going out. See you later, guys.
Get out.
See ya.
Offering his own son up as a sacrificial lamb when years of sexual assault, corporate wrongdoing and negligence is revealed at Waystar Royco.
Which is what fucking Murdoch did.
Which is what Murdoch literally did to his son after the News of the World scandal.
I'm back.
Atrocious.
Same Hannah thing as is something people. That Murdoch did. Doesn't surprise me.
Doesn't surprise... Well, literally doesn't surprise me because it's based on it.
It's just so mad though, isn't it? That this thing that seems really far-fetched, I've not heard because fucking, it's a spoiler.
Fucking happy.
Is entrenched in the truth.
Yeah.
So speaking of that son, Kendall. So Kendall's ex promptly divorces him after she found him doing lines off the kids' iPads.
I forgot about that.
I know.
Gosh.
He's on the straight and narrow when we meet him. However, yes. After failing to take over daddy's company with a vote of no confidence in his father, guys, this is a theme. We watch him spiral over the next three series with soaring highs and searing lows. He's a narcissist for sure, but he's also a broken little boy who wants daddy's love and attention more than anything in the world.
Mm-hmm.
His fuckboy moments...
Told you we'd all been there.
We have. And his fuckboy moments tend to sway towards fucking over his family. And at the end of the day, the women in his life seem no more than just accessories. An example of this moment, I don't know if you've got there, Hannah, is the moment that Kendall flies the actress that he's seeing out to the party that his dad's at and he introduces her.
God, that's such a fuckboy moment.
It's so... It is un... He just treats her like shit on his shoe.
What, this other actress?
This actress that he, like, he sees her in a play and he really falls for her and he flies her out to this party that his that his dad is kind of hosting and he introduces her to his dad and she says, like, a lot. Well, like, she says like, and then she says, maybe she says, like, literally or something.
Kendall would hate this podcast.
Yeah, really? It gives Kendall the ick. Like...
Kendall would, like, hate this podcast.
He would, like, hate this podcast.
He would, like, literally,
hate this podcast. So instead of... He gets the ick because she says like too much.
Hey, look, we've all been there.
We've all been there. We've all had the ick. And instead of ending it... We haven't been here quite. Instead of ending it, he sends her up to the roof with his coat and asks a member of security to arrange to fly her home. Yeah. This dude ghosts
someone.
She's probably
been to the party for about... 45 minutes?
Yeah.
She's probably had about two glasses of champagne. She's not even drunk at this point.
Yeah, she's barely arrived.
That's good, though, because I would shed a tear if I was drunk. But if I was sober, I'd hold my head high and be like...
Savage. Like, he literally ghosts her and she's at the same party as him. He ghosts someone who's literally right there. And he just is like...
Dreadful.
Yeah, go up to the roof. And then there's this, like, other moment that I had completely forgotten about that's just come back to me. Where he is at a gala and he invites the anchor woman of Waystar Royco's like news section. And she's so awkward.
Oh, I remember this bit.
She's so awkward. And it's basically like, I didn't have a choice to turn you down.
Yes, yeah. I remember that.
That's awful.
Wild.
I have seen that bit. And it is like a classic thing of... I was having this conversation very recently with someone where basically their coworker, they walked into a party late with their coworker and their coworker was male. And the female said, oh, this isn't a good look, like us walking in late together, like kind of jokingly. And then he was being like, oh no, let them think that. And like was like putting his arm around her and like being like, ha ha ha. Like,
ew.
And she was saying to me, she was like, it made me really uncomfortable and I couldn't work out why when I was the one who made the joke in the first place. And I was like, because the judgment on you would be massive and he would face no repercussions for that.
It's like that scene in Iron Man.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's all the same stuff. It's like an abuse of power, whether you're like incredibly wealthy and powerful or you're just at the same level coworker. It really does slap you around the face as a woman.
Totally. And I think... I can't quite remember the line, but they basically say to her, like, show him a good time.
Yeah. Also, how embarrassing for you. You'd be like, I don't need a good time from you.
I know. Awful.
Get it elsewhere.
So some of Kendall's top fuckboy moments include trying to steal the company from his dad. Trying to steal the company from his dad again. Big spoiler.
Ah.
Crashing a car and running away instead of calling the police to help a drowning passenger.
God. I can't believe that hasn't had more repercussions than it did.
I know.
But that's the thing. Rich people get away with so much, including murder.
Oh, I just came back for the word murder.
Murder.
You know what? That's fine. No. It doesn't surprise me.
Also, spoiler.
Oh, Christ, right.
Trying to steal the company from his dad, but this time with legal implications that may mean his dad ends up in jail, which is such a weird one because it's not necessarily like... It's obviously the right thing to do, but the way that he goes about it is so wrong, and because he's so powerful and everything about the way that he goes about it is so fucked. He turns up to his ex-wife's house moments after said takeover, and says he needs to lay low with his entire team. Like, he does not even call her first. He just turns up at her house. Like, it's his house. So he constantly speaks over women. He does it when he's trying to invest in an art startup. He does it with his sister. He does it with his legal team. He does it with his PR team. He cannot... They do it so well because it's a pattern. Like, that's why these writers of the show are so good. Because you watch series 3 and then you watch some of series 1 back, and they're seeding that same thing of like, you know, he's like the presenting himself as like the face of Time's Up, like starting a foundation here for women, blah, 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 blah. And he just speaks over them constantly.
Does he start a charity foundation?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's such good writing.
I know.
It's genius.
It's genius. It's fucking so genius. Good. Other fuckboy moves include taking coke off his kid's iPad, as mentioned above. Laughing when cousin Greg opens a bottle of wine from his ex-wife and he doesn't even apologise.
That bit, I could not believe.
I could not believe.
I was just like, you are why is it such so bad? A wanker.
Yeah. So he turns up to his ex-wife's house.
Mm.
His girlfriend comes over and brings all this food from like this fucking posh restaurant. Mm. And cousin Greg is there. And she's like, oh yeah, just like open that bottle of wine. So he opens it. And then you hear off screen, like, what the fuck, Greg? And then we go in and what's her name? I can't remember his ex-wife's name. Sorry.
Rasheen?
I think it is like Rashida or something. She's like, my godfather gave me that wine. And Greg is like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. No. And Kendall's girlfriend is just like, whoops. Like, such a power move from her. Kendall's just like, we'll buy another bottle. It's fine. Like, we'll replace it. It's fine. And Greg is like, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. And then she just has this moment where she's like, it's fine. It's fine. It's cool. It's okay. I'm leaving the fucking room. It's fine.
Mm.
And it is so... Oh, it's horrible.
It's so awful. It's like your ex-husband has come into your house and invited his current girlfriend to come into your house.
Who's treating it like it's her fucking house.
She's come in and she's just opened a bottle of wine that you have been saving for year upon year upon year because your dead godfather gave it to you when you were 4 years old or something like that. Do you know what I mean? It's just like,
awful.
These people, these fucking people.
And they're like, we'll buy another one. It's fine.
Oh, so grim.
Like, that makes it okay.
And it's so weird because it's like, it feels like such a tiny moment in the grand scheme of such dreadful behavior. But I think it's because it's such a relatable moment where like you have people in your house that you don't want to fucking be there. And then they touch something of yours that is sacred to you and they destroy it. And you're like, what?
But it's
the
fundamentally
fuck?
Human and the best kind of storytelling, right? Is to be like, this is a story about a bottle of wine, but it's not about the bottle of wine. It's about the dynamic of the years and years of tension throughout the marriage and the ways in which he's abused her and cast aside all of the things that have mattered and meant the most to her and treated them in such a disrespectful manner. And the fact that they can encapsulate that within one scene is so incredibly masterful. It's unbelievable.
Back to the Roys. So this is my worst this is a huge spoiler, Hannah. No, I'm kidding. It's not a huge spoiler. But this is the worst thing that he does. He's maybe killed a giant bunny rabbit with bagels and mansplaining.
sorry.
Oh, hold yes! Up. Hold course.
Up. He killed a bunny rabbit.
Potentially.
With...
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
We won't know. I want to say anything yet.
Okay.
I know. This fucking guy.
So he sucks.
He sucks. So does his other younger brother, fucking Roman Roy.
But who, Kath, you would definitely bang.
Maybe not Roman, but definitely Kieran.
Really?
Just because of how good he is. He just blows me away. Kieran
Culkin? I thought you'd go for Roman over Culkin.
Maybe I would. Maybe. We'll get to it. But maybe I'll tell you exactly who I want to be in Roman's romantic relationships. I think you might know. Okay. / maybe I want to be Roman. So the New York magazine called Roman Roy a wisecracking mashup of Puck and Iago sheathed in an Armani suit. Incredible. A louche, gutter-mouthed, broken little bloke. A trollish man-boy who summed up by his life's desire to be the COO of Waystar Royco, even though he has no idea of what that job actually entails.
Yeah, it's so on point.
So on point.
Very good.
So Roman's highlights reel include jacking off in the COO office of Waystar, straight onto the perfectly clean glass windows, looking out onto New York City. How clean are those windows?
Power move, though.
Power move. Yeah, where Roman's sex life is concerned. For all his potty mouth posturing, his girlfriend Tabitha calls him Professor Can't Fuck.
Savage.
Also, so she is divine.
Spice? Utter spice. Woof. I know.
Spicy.
So Tabitha says, this isn't a normal relationship. Roman, why? Well, for one thing, we never fuck. Roman, yeah, we do. Tabitha, no, we don't. Roman, oh, come on, yeah, we do. We've been busy is all. Tabitha, no, you kind of like jerked off near me once. Then Roman comes back with the incredible line. All right, there's no need to be disgusting. And he swallows every single word, and I'm just completely obsessed with it. So a sex therapist in real life theorized that the character Roman Roy, being used to humiliation and pain in his youth, is trying to rewrite that narrative in his head into humiliation and pleasure.
Oh yeah.
Ooh.
So there is a character that he is particularly fond of rewriting said narrative with.
I love this relationship.
Jerry Kelman, stomp on my neck. Jerry.
Who dat?
Jerry, blonde lady.
Oh, yes, she's great.
Yeah. So Jerry is on Waystar Royco's general counsel and a fuck girl in her own right. She's a peacemaker, a masterful manipulator, and she is giving us hot, emotionally unavailable mummy energy.
Yes. Yeah, she is.
Isn't she? So from the moment we first see them, they're not involved in any romantic capacity, but the sexual tension is crackling.
How old is she?
I guess she's meant to be 50? Late 40s, yeah. Early 50s?
I was going to say, she's older, right?
50s. It must be 50s, yeah. Because they are late making 50s, a point.
I'd say.
Really? They're making a point that she is a mother figure.
Ages.
Yeah. She's been working for 30 years for the company, or 20, 30 years.
Fit.
So their relationship has fans in a frenzy. People ship Jerry and Roman so hard.
Do they?
Hell so yeah. I thought I'd get you some of... this is from an L article by Jill Gutowitz. And this is some of Jerry's best sexual roasts to Roman.
Oh, live for it.
And they're in ascending order of... utter perfection. So she says, you disgusting little pig. You have always been a disappointment. You're a revolting little worm, aren't you? This is one of my personal favourites. You little slime puppy. So creative.
Yes. Yes. That's so good. You little slime puppy. That's exactly what he is.
He is. Then she says, this is why you'll never be anything other than a disgrace. A rotten little nothing. And he's wanking when he's listening to her saying this on the phone.
Okay, so quickly, the actress is 64 years old.
Oh.
Oh my God, she's so bloody hot. Good. Maybe we just like, I think everyone has a deluded idea of how old women look.
Because of like, the telly.
Yeah, we're always like, oh my God, that they must be like 50. Or no, sorry, they must be like way older. And whenever we see like 40-year-olds, we're always like, oh my God, they look so young. And it's like, yes, because they're only 40.
Yeah. Hyaluronic acid and Botox.
What also that.
Yeah.
So top three lines. You're a classic fuck up. This one. You are a sick fuck. You're a sick fucking animal. And then Jill's favourite. You're pathetic. And as Jill so rightly says, it's so simple. The amount of money I'd pay Cate Blanchett to say this to me and mean it is more than Logan Roy could afford.
Oh.
Getting a bit
hot under the old collar.
Hot under the old collar.
It's just incredible. So my favourite Roman moment is when he... This is a spoiler, but I don't think it's a big one.
Okay, I'll listen.
Is when he pushes scientists to send a rocket from Waystar Royko into space too soon. The rocket launch goes wrong and two thumbs are lost. In the press junket, in the press junket addressing this, Roman says, I don't want to be facetious, but I'm not a rocket scientist.
And yet, Roman, Romulus.
And yet, Romulus, why have you
You sent a fucking rocket up into the sky.
So we move on now to big sister Shiv Roy. What do you, because you're series one, Hannah, what do you think of Shiv?
I love her.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think she's great. I think she's also... the perfect, like she's just a really incredibly well-written woman in all the facets of how difficult it is to be a woman in such a male-dominated world. And there's nothing about her, the way that she's written, that makes me go, oh, I feel like you're not paying homage to this area of what it's like to be a woman. It's just, it's fantastic. She's so, so brilliant. She's so full.
So Sarah Snook actually says of Shiv that she's signed on to a life of commitment that she has no blueprint for in her own life. The only blueprint that she does have is infidelity, which I think is really interesting.
Is infidelity?
Yeah.
Because of her father having done that.
Because of her father, her mother, her family, everyone around her.
And also, I guess when everything is so disposable, like nothing is, you know, why would you even think about like monogamy in that situation? When you don't even keep probably the same pair of shoes for longer than 2 years, how could you ever think about lifelong commitment in a romantic capacity? It's just not fit for that environment.
Yeah.
Cost per use.
And Sarah Snook talks about
it's
it being
not a
like...
thing that they think about.
No. But she says like, it's like, Shiv is like just ticking the boxes. So she's done, she's doing like the long-term relationship and she's doing the settling down, she's doing the job and she's getting the house and... You know, she might move on to children. We don't know if that's going to be written yet, but that would just be so interesting to watch. She's just ticking boxes and not necessarily thinking about what she wants at all. So Shiv Roy starts the show in a political team, would you call it?
Yeah.
Yeah, like the political team.
I totally forgot about that.
For like a Bernie Sanders-esque figure. And so she's engaged to Tom Wamsgams. Who's high up in the Waystar Royko business. Yeah, it's so Wamsgams. Fucking good. They call him like Wamsgams.
Perfect.
I think that's how they say it. It's like in an American accent. I don't know how it's spelled. I've just put Wamsgams with Z.
Wamsgams.
So he's high up in the Waystar Royko business. He's a pick-me. She's a narcissist.
He's such a pick-me.
Oh, such... Yeah, such a pick-me.
Such a pick-me. So the Succession podcast describes them as... He's like a human version of one of those dog breeds you mate with a poodle, like a Tom Doodle. And Shiv is way up the food chain, an apex predator. And I just loved that. I thought that was brilliant.
So good.
That is so good.
So he is such a pick-me. He spends the whole of his bachelor party manic with glee that his future wife has given him a free pass for the night. Oh. The rest of the evening is then characterised by him leaving behind his childhood friends for his future brother-in-law, worrying if his free pass gives his wife a free pass too, and then swallowing his own load. That's right.
Oh my God.
Swallowing his own load.
Nice. That might be one of my favourite episodes, I think. Incredible when they go episode. On the, is it a stag
Prague, day? Yeah. So after spending the whole night asking everyone if it's okay to get a hand job, he gets one up, gets a blow job, and afterwards she spits his cum back into his mouth.
Oh my God. Do you know disgusting. What? I'm glad for that spoiler because I will be mentally.
Have you not got there yet? Oh, I cannot wait. That is the kind of
Just you wait, Hannah.
Sick stuff that I come to this show for. Just awful.
Me too.
So meanwhile, his fiance Shiv Roy has indeed given herself a hall pass. She's in the throes of an affair with her ex-lover and colleague Nate. The casual assumption that as adults she can cheat on her clearly unwilling husband is kind of grim. So on their wedding night, while the party raid is downstairs, she confesses the affair to her new husband. And she says that she can't promise it will be her last. She says, I'm not sure if I'm a good fit for a monogamous marriage. Yeah. They got married less than like 3 hours ago.
A little late, hon.
Unethical non-monogamy, tiny, isn't it?
Tiny bit late.
Could have just said it a few hours before. Ago.
Yeah. Just say it a before tiny bit earlier.
Just a wee bit.
I know. Wild. Wild. Why wait?
A little cheeky caveat would have done.
Exactly. Would have done wonders. So she consistently tests Tom's love for her. In series two, she sets up a threesome on her family yacht. Big comeback from the yacht.
Yes, we yacht. Love to see it. The with main character who, of Succession.
Obviously.
Yeah.
And she sets this threesome up with someone, I think, posing as a member of staff or is a member of staff. So in a scene gifted to us by the fucking literary gods, sweet, sweet Tom Doodle Tom dances around the fact, saying he doesn't want a threesome.
Oh, bless him.
No. And what follows is Shiv grumpily going to bed. Next day, offering Tom up as the sacrificial lamb on the altar of corporate wrongdoing. And a genuinely heartbreaking scene where Tom tells Shiv how deeply unhappy he is in their relationship. And then he steals Logan's chicken.
Oh, I don't remember the chicken bit.
There's this weird bit where they're like talking about who should go down for the Royco thing. And Tom just takes Logan's chicken from his salad, eats it.
Like a chicken escalope.
And then leaves. Yeah, it's so weird. And Logan's like, that's my fucking
chicken. There's definitely
chicken.
Got to like, come a point where they're all like, who's going to be the most kooky in this scene? Who's totally. Going to do the weirdest
just,
thing?
Just like, who's going to do the most mental stuff? And I think that one wins.
It's so, like he lost all control and his animal brain went, take food.
Take the chicken. Yeah. That's a power move. That's a fucking power move, taking the chicken. And that's then after he's done it, he's like, oh no, it wasn't a power move. It wasn't a power move. So
I'm
spoiler.
Vegetarian.
Yeah, I don't eat chicken. What am I doing? Spoiler. Taking the chicken does not improve the power dynamic.
It fucking doesn't, does it?
Right now, Shiv and Tom are in the weird position where Tom is considering going to jail for Shiv's family and at the same time trying to baby trap her.
Yes. He's tracking her fucking periods.
He's tracking her fucking... Like, he's trying to baby trap her, right?
Oh, yeah. He wants collateral when he comes out of prison.
Yeah, he totally does. And Hannah can put her headphones back on now.
I'm back.
So we end with a contradiction to the blueprint of infidelity in the family myth.
Infidelity?
I know, I keep saying that. How do you say it? Infidelity?
Infidelity, yeah. I guess.
But I prefer infidelity.
So absolutely. Do I. We're fucking in the billionaires' clouds right now. We're up there with the gods.
Infidelity.
I'm saying fidelity. I sound like Professor sound like Stephen Fry doing Professor Trelawney. Infidelity.
What a reference.
So Connor Roy, our final Roy family member.
Yes.
He's a picture.
Wait, who the fuck is Connor Roy?
He's the Prudence.
I just had a brain fart. Oh, he's Prudence. Got
he's
it.
Prudence. Got that was the perfect thing that you could have said when I said Connor Roy. Who?
He's the Prudence.
That's so true. Right, the most forgettable family member.
God bless him.
The forgotten son.
Oh, sad times, isn't it?
So he's like obsessed.
He gives me real like ferret vibes.
Do you know what I mean? Vibes?
I love
Physically,
it.
Physically, he really reminds Ferrety. Me of a ferret.
I do actually see what you mean. Mm-hmm. I really do.
Yeah, I can see it actually.
If all the siblings were animals, what animals would they be? I feel like Kendall would be a snake or like a lizard or like an iguana. No, I feel like a snake or a lizard.
Yes. No, I think an iguana is really good.
Iguana's good.
I think iguana's good.
With like quite a big one that moves like a bit weirdly.
Yeah. I feel like Shiv would be maybe like a polar bear.
Oh, I think she's like a lion or something. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. She's a fucking big cat.
Feline.
She gives me cat energy.
Jaguar.
Yeah. And then Romulus.
Romulus is like
a toad, right?
Oh, see, I'd see him as like a little woodland creature that like can't sit still. He's like a squirrel or something.
He's like a meerkat.
Yes.
Or like a raccoon, something that like claw your eyes out.
Yeah, something like with a vicious side. Like in the UK, it would be a badger.
Yes.
And then Connor's ferret. I like ferret for Connor. And then Logan.
He's a ferret. Oh, Logan. Maybe Logan's the polar bear, actually.
Yeah, just can kill you with a swipe.
One of those gnarly ones from the Golden Compass.
Yes. An armoured bear.
Oh, gosh.
An armoured bear.
I love it. An armoured bear. So, Connor, obsessed with monogamy. Like, obsessed with it. So he's clearly completely devoted to Willa. So Willa, his girlfriend, is a playwright, was an ex-escort, that's how they met, and his whole family disapprove of her, but he, like, refuses not to bring her to places. He's like, she's fucking coming with me.
Oh, which is quite nice.
Yeah, it's an odd relationship. So in series one, we see Connor pushing for more exclusivity with Willa. He asks her to move in with him and travel back and forth between his ranch and New York. He promises to give her an allowance and help her with her theatre career. And it is unspoken, but he does want her to give up being an escort. And he confesses that he loves her. And she sort of reluctantly agrees to this odd situation.
She's so not into it.
But then there's like a moment in series three where she's like Logan is giving all of his kids jobs. And Willa's kind of like, what about Connor? Like, Logan, you do have another son called Connor. So I don't know what to make of their relationship.
I think it's because then she would benefit from that, right? Like, if she's going to be on team, she has to be on Connor's team.
Yeah.
She's signed on the dotted line, so it's like, well, we better make this.
And he's out of money. He's fucking broke. So his
she
top...
wants her play to be on Broadway.
Yeah, she does. It is, and it's fucking taken all of his money. So I would say that Connor's top fuckboy moments. I would say that Connor's top fuckboy moments come in delusions of grandeur and general idiocy, including jizzing 500K on a fake Napoleon dick. That's a fucking quote,
you know,
babies.
What? You could see it with Rasputin, couldn't you?
I'd understand if it was Rasputin's penis.
How I just love that Logan says that. Small.
I feel like Napoleon's is very small.
No, I think it was famously small.
Small guy, small willy.
Oh.
I know. A little God dried bless. Napoleon dick. Mm. I heard you jizzed 500K on a fake Napoleon dick.
Who said that? Romulus?
No, Logan.
So good.
But it's like, you bet you would miss the line unless you like watch it multiple times. It's just so thrown away. It's incredible. He also runs for president and begs dad... Literally begs daddy for money because he's not super liquid. Life's tough, guys. So
it's
tough to be a Roy. So, Succession, I'm sure you agree, is one of my favourite, ultimate, best shows on TV. As a self-professed potty mouth, it's lines like, dad is going to play a merry tune on you and then throw you out the fucking window. And calling your own flesh and blood pure carcass. That will always keep me coming back for more.
Pure carcass.
Pure carcass.
So good.
I love it. Okay, shag, marry, avoid. Roy's and team, go.
Fuck Jerry.
You'd fuck Jerry?
I'd maybe marry Greg, but probably not because...
What? You'd marry Greg?
I think he's hilarious. He's such a... I'm okay. I was going to say a pitiful excuse for a human being, so maybe I wouldn't. He's just hilarious. I just love him.
Yeah, kind of just but he's funny at his own expense.
You could get him out now and then and he'd be a laugh, but I think 24/7
that is true.
Drive you up the wall.
Yeah, true.
He's a bit of a pick-me as well,
he'd,
isn't
like,
he?
Expect you to iron his T-shirts and make you cheese toasties.
Do you think? I think he'd be super worried about, like, looking like he cared about gender equality. I think he'd be like, oh,
does he give you soft boy?
I wasn't asking you to, like, make me a toastie or anything. Sorry. Did it seem that? Do you know what I mean?
He's yeah, so... but then he'd like, but like, could you?
That is a good point.
Okay, who would you avoid?
Avoid Kendall.
Oh, yeah, like the plague.
Like the plague.
Yeah, definitely avoid Kendall. Avoid Kendall.
Hannah?
Obviously marry Shiv.
Yeah.
And also in an ethical non-monogamous marriage, what a delight. I would fuck Macaulay Culkin's character.
Roman Romulus.
I would fuck Macaulay Culkin.
Would you let him jerk off near you?
No, well, the thing is, I would say him, but obviously he's terrible in bed, so no, I'm gonna fuck.
It would be him wanking near you. That would be it.
I'm gonna fuck Jerry.
Yeah, obviously.
And I'd avoid probably Logan, actually.
There's moments where Logan is flirting with his assistant. And you're like...
He's quite scary, though. I did a film with Brian Cox, and he's like...
Oh, yes. Yes.
He's very, like... He's got so much presence. Mm. But I was like, I'm a bit scared. But he was very lovely. But I was like...
Yeah.
You know, when you're just like, I've decided I'm nervous. Also, because he's just like a sick, famous actor that you're like, I'm scared.
Alpha male.
Did I tell you what he had to do to me in that film?
No.
No.
The whole storyline is that, well, what, like, part, like the beginning part of my storyline was that he comes in with a bottle of champagne, he pops it open and pours it all over me, and it makes my t-shirt go, not completely see-through, but it makes my t-shirt go see-through, so I have to go and get changed.
Ew!
That's like, and he's like, oh no.
So Logan Roy has seen your titties?
He's stared directly at my titties multiple times.
What a brag.
And how do they feel about that?
Look, TBH, I was quite scared. So they just felt
they were carrying
titties. Yeah.
Okay, guys, can I do my shag, marry, avoid?
Yes.
Okay, I would avoid Kendall.
Yeah.
I would shag Shiv.
Yeah.
And I would marry Carolina, who's played by Dagmar.
Oh, you're going Carolina, obviously. Obviously, because she's fucking
She
girl.
Is so hot.
Yeah.
And fucking cool. And she doesn't seem like a... Looney Tune.
Like a Looney Tune. Yeah, that's a good one.
Okay, guys, I've got a listener story for you.
Yes, we love.
Okay, here I go. So, the last guy I dated had sex with me one night. I came back over two nights later, and there was a long jet black hair laid across the guest sink. I have blonde hair. This was unmistakable. I said, oh, did you have a friend over? And he said, yes. And yes, we had sex. But I realised she was less interesting than you, so I decided not to call her for another date.
Okay.
I'm embarrassed to admit that I dated him two more years and really wish he had been more interesting than me. Also, pretty sure he put the hair there in the most obvious place possible just so I would bring it up. He ended up doing a lot of stuff like that.
Ew. Ew.
What a F-boy.
It's a bit of a Shiv move, that, actually.
It feels very Murdoch.
Yeah.
Roy,
yes, like
behavior.
Testing them, testing how much they can fuck with you.
Yeah, planting little fuckboy
Easter
eggs.
What would you say that is? Like, narcissist, Matt? Like, that's a bit soft boy-y, I think.
Mr. It does feel Mr. Narcissist.
I think
narcissist.
It's sort of your classic
classic fuckboy.
Yeah.
Just really horrible. I'm so sorry that happened to you.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that he is no longer in your life, because he sounds
bloody dreadful.
Well, thank you for that listener story.
Yeah, thank you for sending that in.
Please keep them coming.
Send them in.
Yes, any voice notes?
Any hair-related fuckboy stories?
Episode ideas?
Yeah. We love to see it.
We love it all. Links for all of our resources are in the show notes. Please do check them out.
Next week, we're going from the super yachts of Succession to the, Hannah, go for pronunciation,
Manolo Blahniks
of Sex and the City.
In the meantime, you can help us by rating us and following the F-Boy podcast wherever you are listening.
You can send us your very own F-Boy or F-Girl stories. Please do not be shy. You can send them to our submissions page at our website at www.fboypodcast.com or slide into our DMs. We want to hear from
you. Yeah. And you can find even more fuckbory on that same Instagram and our Twitter. I mean, not much going on Twitter at the moment, but there might be one day. It's there. It's bloody there. And that's at F-Boy Podcast.
Special thanks to our brilliant producers at Audio Boom Studios.
So watch out, Burger and Mr. Big.
We're coming for you.